I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. What does the silence mean? I hope, was it good? Very good. So Thursday was Thanksgiving. On Friday, I was the celebrant at a very tragic funeral of 41-year-old Vic Brinkman, who died rather unexpectedly. Very sad, very tragic. He leaves behind his parents and his children. So less than 24 hours, you're here, and then you go down here. And then Friday, life starts all over again, and here I am celebrating this Mass with you, right? There's something amazing about us humans. Hope never fades for us. Even at Vic's funeral, as tragic as it was, as saddening as it was, people didn't leave without the sense of hope, the silver lining that shines even in our darkest moment. For that matter, think about the history of the world. We know of events that really should have ended it for us. The Black Plague. You only heard about those things. The two wars, world wars, the Depression, the terrorist attacks, the horrendous natural disasters, and countless other tragedies. Somehow, we humans manage to emerge from the shadows of these darkest moments with grit and resilience. It's called hope. There's always tomorrow. And for us Christians, there's always eternity. We call it hope. We begin the season of Advent, and it's the season of hope. And yes, we may be in the holiday mood, probably just eating the leftovers. And the commercialization of the season does not always help us to reflect on the deeper realities. But then we come to church and hear what Scripture is saying to us. Please do not forget to go deep in the season of hope. And today's Scripture readings provide us great ways, very practical, simple ways in making this season of Advent meaningful for us. And I'm going to suggest three ways to do that. First of all, I'm suggesting let's simply ponder hope. Pondering hope. So today's first reading and the gospel reading describe scenes that carry two realities. In fact, I'm saying they reflect life. Life is a mixture of darkness and light, and you find them in today's first and gospel reading. So Jeremiah, in light of the existing fidelities and injustices, and he was really strong against the prevailing injustices of his time and the infidelities to the covenant. Even in the midst of that darkness, Jeremiah proclaims the days when justice and right will reign. And basically, here was the impending darkness or the existing darkness, the imperfections, but we humans, we are hopeful, hope never fades, so he prophesies about what will be. Jesus, in today's gospel reading, even as he talks about the end days, he says to his people, But when these things begin to happen, stand erect and raise our heads, because your redemption is at hand. So even when darkness will come, remember redemption. So hope is always there for us. In fact, isn't that what life is? On the one hand, each one of us experiences sin, death, illness, uncertainty, broken relationships, selfishness, injustice, violence, and a million other imperfections. On the other hand, hope never fades. Why? Because Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope. No other event in the history of the universe brings us the kind of hope that Jesus did. And mind you, Jesus did not come into a perfect world. Jesus did not wait for us to be perfect so that Jesus could come. No, Jesus embraces our imperfection and gives us hope. That is why this season is so meaningful. Yesterday I was after Mass, 5 o'clock, 4:30 Mass, I go to Dots to get some groceries. There's a guy who meets me on the outside. He says, "Man, did you hear about that plane, that Russian plane that was shot down?" I said, "Yeah, it's all going to end, man. It's all going to end." And I wanted to tell him, "Can I give you my homily?" Right? There is hope. There is hope. So I'm suggesting that this Advent, more than anything else, we connect deeply with Jesus, who is our hope. If this Advent passes without we connecting in a deep way with Jesus, then we probably have let hope itself go. And how do you do that? Simple, make time for prayer. We make time for so many things in a very busy schedule. Believe me, we'll get all the shopping done by the time Christmas comes, right? We can make the time. Connect deeply with Jesus, even if it's 5 minutes, sitting in silence, and connect with Jesus, who is our hope. There is tomorrow because of Him. There is eternity because of Him. Even in the darkest moments, hope never fades. Secondly, hope comes from love. And I'm taking the inspiration for this point from today's second reading. Hear what St. Paul says to the Thessalonians. He says, "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love." Simple statement, huh? It's so simple that people may actually pass the statement by. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another. I think Paul, like you and I, knew the power of love. Love is there, the power of love. Love is powerful. Paul, like you and I, knew the power of the crib and the cross and the love that surrounded those two events of Jesus' life. The crib and the cross. So today Paul is urging us to let Christ-like love increase and abound. And we have 25 days, right, in preparation for Christmas. And I think here's the best way to make meaning Advent, to make Advent meaningful. In the midst of all the imperfections in the world, like Christ, let love increase and abound. So I am placing an invitation before you. I'm calling it the 25 days of love, starting today. 25 days without hate, resentment, unrighteous anger, 25 days of forgiveness, reconciliation, peace, 25 days of bringing love to the grieving, the poor, the lonely, the hungry, the distressed, the overburdened. If we can commit 25 days to these things, what do you think Advent will be like for us? And if we did it all together, love him, it's all right. 25 days begins today. Look at me. Look. Mommy. He's not listening to my homily. 25 days committed to love, 25 days committed to free of hatred and revenge, 25 days committed to reconciliation and peace. One day at a time. If we can do that, if we can increase and abound love, then what increases? Hope increases. It's up to us. And thirdly, conducting our lives to please God. Paul offers us one more invitation. He says to us, conduct yourselves to please God. In other words, love is more than good intentions. Love is about concrete action. But here is what happens. When we increase and abound Christ-like love, the change happens inside of us. See, most of us think that if this guy can change, life would all be good. If only these other people can change, how good the world would be. But when you increase and abound in love, something else happens. The change is not in that person. The change happens inside us. We are the ones who change. The world will experience hope not because there is less distress in the world, but rather because we strived to increase and abound love. Change happens inside us. So here are some examples, that challenging examples that I'm going to place before you. In relation to the huge influx of refugees all over the world, how can we conduct ourselves to please God? What do you think Christ is saying? Tomorrow begins the World Conference on Climate Change. If we are to conduct ourselves to please God, what do you think Christ would be saying to us? I think of the Pope right now. The Pope is in the Central African Republic, probably one of the dangerous, most dangerous places for him to be. He takes the risk, he goes. I think that's the conduct that pleases God, to be where there is imperfection and to be the presence of God. Conduct your lives to please God. And we have 25 days to live it so intensely and offer that as a gift to Christ for his birthday. So I'm saying three things, huh, to make these 25 days meaningful. First, connect deeply with Christ, our hope. Secondly, let love abound and increase so that hope may increase. And thirdly, let's conduct ourselves to please God. The change in us will bring hope to the world. May Christ, who we celebrate in this Eucharist, be our hope, our light, and our peace. People of God said. Amen. So as a reminder to ourselves of the season we are entering, we're going to light the Advent wreath. We'll bless the wreath and light a candle and maybe take that light home to wherever we go. Please rise. Let us pray. Lord God, your church joyfully awaits the coming of its Savior, who enlightens our hearts and dispels the darkness of ignorance and sin. Pour forth your blessings upon us as we light the candle of this wreath. May its light reflect the splendor of Christ, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. And in that light, we profess our faith.
Let's do the dismissal first.
Candidates, please come forward.